This is a replay of the Tuesday night, April 11th, WGN show. We started promptly at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. And they've got the neatest app where your VoIP phone can take text messages, too. Their prices are phenomenally low, but if you pay for a year in advance, you save even more money. Say Raleigh sent you, shipping is free. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We got 3 hours to spend together, plenty on my mind, probably even more on yours. So I'll defer to you, 888-876-5593. That's 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. As soon as I conclude what's been on my mind for the last hour or so, Buster Bodine died, and this was an absolute shock to me. And I know you're probably saying, who is Buster Bodine? So here's the deal. Almost 50 years ago now, I worked in Annapolis, Indiana, and my best friend at the radio station was Chuck Riley, and we were thick as thieves, so much so that the general manager at the time, Jim Hilliard, refused to allow us in the building at the same time because he thought we were plotting. And I'm not sure what he thought we were plotting, though I now that I think about it, I can probably come up with half a dozen things. And that said, I managed not to be in the building when Chuck was by request. His little brother was Michael D. Hanks, Buster Bodine, and it's interesting because Chuck was a bigger than life personality, and even back then, 50 years ago, he was making a small fortune doing voiceover. So to have a younger brother, younger by about 12 years, kind of trailing in your footsteps, usually, especially in the same industry, wouldn't be a prescription for happiness. But it was really interesting because Buster was not in Chuck's shadow. He was a personality all to his own. And I don't remember how he came up with the name Buster Bodine. It might have been George Johns. I'm not really sure. He was always Buster to me, even later when he went back to being Michael D. Hanks. But he was just terrific. Now, about 10, 12 years ago, Buster wound up being very sick. And what had occurred was he had a horrendous heart condition that normally probably would have quickly led to his death, but he was taken to Burbank to the hospital there, and the doctor the admitting physician who saw him was the same guy who had been on duty the night that John Ritter was brought in and subsequently sadly died because the diagnosis was not made in time. So this guy, it was so top of mind for him that this might be a possibility. They tested Buster. Sure enough, they rushed him into surgery, and it was a very happy ending, and a very happy ending for at least a decade. And I probably saw him shortly thereafter, about 8-10 years ago. And then since then, we were supposed to get together on several occasions, but of course, life intervened and we didn't. And so I was in utter horror when I saw an online post from his daughter that said, "Dad just came through his second 12-hour open heart surgery." I'm like, oh my God. And at that point, it was touch and go. It didn't look good. And in the ensuing weeks, and it was probably less than 10 days, every day the news was getting better, and ultimately Buster regained consciousness, and he was looked like he was really on the road to recovery. And then about 3 or 4 days, I stopped hearing from his daughter. And Buster, by the way, celebrated his 70th birthday on April Fool's Day in the hospital, and she even mentioned how well he was doing on that date and all that. And just got an email from a very good friend who said, "Did you hear Buster Bodine died?" And that was less than an hour before this show, so I've been in absolute shock ever since. Buster was truly, like I say, one of the originals, and it never was lost on me how hard it had to be to, in some ways, be in Chuck's shadow, but he wasn't. He really was a kick, and I was thinking, you know, about anecdotes, ones that I could share. And the one that came to mind is Buster was intent on doing some voiceover as well, and so he needed some demo tapes, and he asked me to help, and so I took a lot of his material and spliced it all up and edited it together, and he loved it. And in fact, he brought me it was a 14 karat gold razor blade because of my editing skills, and we both thought that this was just wonderful, having absolutely no knowledge that it could mean anything else, right? And so I cherished that razor blade. I wore it regularly. And so it was that I was in the Bel Air shop at the Shop Easy, actually, a couple years later. And I'm standing in line, and I've got my usual, like, you know, 12 bottles of Coca-Cola. And the guy behind me says, "You like Coke, huh?" And I said, "I'm addicted." He said, "Well, congratulations that you'd admit it." I said, "No, I'm absolutely addicted. I'll go through this 12-pack in the next 2 days." And he started to laugh. He says, "No," and he points to my razor blade and said, "Not talking about that kind of Coke, dear." And so I am completely without knowledge at this point. I go home, and I later checked with other people who were a little more worldly than I was in those things, and I said, "Does a razor blade mean anything?" The laughter ensued for days. And I called Buster, and I said, "Buster, did you know?" And he didn't know either. And that was what was so funny about that. I still have the 14-karat gold razor blade, but I have the cease and desist for wearing it was pretty much instantaneous at that point. But and there are just so many stories, and radio is certainly poorer tonight for the loss of Buster Bodine. And one thing I have noticed, I went online and immediately saw an outpouring from many listeners, actually, expressing how much they loved listening to him. And I know wherever he is, that's warming his heart right now. And it's certainly warming mine, but it is, it's a shock, to say the least. And John said, "Oh my God, you were keeping up with this, and you were planning to get together with him." I had said to John, "You know, we gotta go see Buster when he recovers from this, and I guess it'll be a while before I meet him again." But one nice thing is he definitely is with his brother Chuck, and his other brother Roland. And nobody knew about Roland because he was not a radio guy. Chuck's family was Cajun, and they were from Kaplan, Louisiana. I mean, deep Cajun, serious Cajun. And his dad had applied for, I think it was a Western Auto, a franchise. And around 1950, he got it. And back then, maybe still true, you didn't get to say where you were going. And the franchise was in Duncan, Oklahoma. And so it was the family, Roland and Chuck and his mom and dad, moved. And then Buster was born in 1953, April 1st, 1953, in Duncan and raised there. And Chuck had worked at Coma years ago, and there are hilarious stories about that. And when Buster got out of high school, he was at Coma, and on and on. And like I say, it would be easy to say he was trailing in Chuck's footsteps, but au contraire, he was creating a legacy his own. And a lot of voiceover work, too. The Guitar Center is one that I know he always did, and a lot of cartoon work too. So, rest in peace, Buster Bodine, and I'm heartbroken. Is the truth? It's far too many people, and I know it's a complication of age, but John said, "Anybody still alive from your days in Indianapolis?" I said, "On the air staffs, nobody I worked with, absolutely not one of them." Well, that's not true. Gary Todd might be alive, but he was the morning guy, and we didn't cross paths that much. But I know George Johns is still alive in his 80s. Yes, still spry as ever in Palm Beach. But he was more the head honcho than a compatriot. But yeah, Pete Sullivan's gone, and Larry Knight is gone, and just about everybody. And so, if not everybody, and now Buster Bodine. So, rest in peace, Buster. All right, enough said. We'll get on to something happy, I promise. We'll get on to Murfreesboro Steve. And he says he's got lots of notes. Oh, I can't wait to hear it. And I got a request. Yeah, Rosie, last night, I promised Rosie I would play the Frank Sinatra version of Always. So, we will next on WGN Radio.
Loving you always, with a love that's true always. When the things you've planned need a helping hand, I will understand always, always. Days may not be fair always. That's when I'll be there. Not for just an hour, not for just a day, not for just a year, but always.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is Frank Sinatra, Always. And that was Rosie in Wisconsin who wanted to hear that. And that's from Frank Sinatra's fairly early days. We're talking big band days. 1947, actually, it was Axel Stordahl's orchestra on that. And Always was written by Irving Berlin, and the first recording came out in 1926. And after that, there were about 339 more. And yes, it was that well known. So when I said, well, which version? Somehow I didn't think she was going to tell me Ray Price. Though he did that in 1985, you know. And Kenny Rankin did it. Yeah, and on the list goes. But Rosie's choice was Frank Sinatra, sounding quite a bit different than he did later. So there you have Always, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. All right, so now Murfreesboro Steve has notes. All right, notes, I tell you. All right, Steve, what's up?
Hello, it's been a long time since I've actually listened to the show. It's
what have you been doing?
Let me tell you. Right after Thanksgiving, we moved out because the year before we had some water damage to the house that had messed up the floors, and so we finally that's a whole long story in itself. But we finally got scheduled and had a company come in to completely redo the carpeting upstairs. And that's, you know, two bedrooms and an office and a family room and stairway and all this. Of course, the wife picks out this absolutely white, thick carpet. It shows everything, you know. So, it's supposed to be a 10-day move out. And, of course, they had to move every stick of furniture, all the albums, all the stuff hanging on the walls, movies, cassette tapes, all this. Everything, and then stuff I had to stash back out of the way. That's supposed to be a 10-day move out. Well, 3 months and 3 days later, we finally get to move back in. And while we're out, we went ahead and painted all of the upstairs and half of the downstairs. And this and why it took so long is every time they would schedule a move back, it either rain or be really, really sloppy, and movers and white carpet and all that. This doesn't go together well, so they'd have to put down plastic runners and tarps in the ground and white footies. There was an indoor crew and an outdoor crew, and we finally got moved back in, and it took forever to unpack all the boxes. They just bring they set up all the furniture, bring your boxes mm-hmm. back, mm-hmm. But we unpacked all the boxes, and it just took forever to unload and figure out where all this. Had to take pictures of all the, where all the pictures were in the wall, so I can put them back in the same way. But it seemed like it took a month just to get everything back back together. And there's still things I can't find. Of course, she decided I have had way too many books and way too many old VHS tapes. So a lot of stuff went to Goodwill, so we can take it off our income tax. But anyway, but I still have all my albums. They're all safe.
Now, you know, you probably know what I'm going to ask, because when you say that all of this is precipitated by water damage, how much mold inspection did you do?
Oh, yeah, we had that done, too. Oh, yeah.
Now, how much did they find?
And
how did they address it?
Well, they had not that much, really, not too much. That wasn't too bad, really, but we had a problem under the house. And we finally, it wasn't so much, you didn't notice it as a mold, you noticed it as a really bad smell, and we couldn't shake it.
Mm-hmm.
We tried salt lamps, we tried all sorts of different things, and finally we just had it encapsulated. You know, they yanked out all the insulation, which is like the third batch of insulation we had in the house.
Yeah.
And they just completely encapsulated it and put in a dehumidifier. But we actually had a pond from a leak, so you might say, is in a trough, in a long trough of plastic.
Oh, God.
And I actually had fans in the house trying to get rid of this stuff. But anyway, it's so far so good. We even had the lights that they put in your furnaces, those blue things, I don't know if it's infrared or ultraviolet or whatever it was. Anyway, to try to get rid of it. And it worked for a while, but so far so good. We're good to go.
Now, the folks who did the remediation, do they guarantee their work about mold?
I believe so.
Okay.
The wife dealt with all the contractors. She's used to doing that because I used to work nights and sleep days.
Sure.
And
Well, I ask because I went through the toxic mold boogie for a long, long time, wound up not walking. But what I discovered about toxic mold is voluminous, to say the least, and usually exempt from any insurance policy. So, therefore, when you are remediating it, you want to make sure whoever's doing it is on the hook if they didn't do it right. Now, encapsulation may be the way to go, and I know why they do that, but there again, I want to make sure that they're to blame if something goes wrong.
Oh yeah, well, see the first when we had a flood, and it flooded under the house.
Oh no, I understand that.
When they redid that and redid all the insulation and sprayed for it underneath the house, a few years ago.
Well,
taped down. They taped down the dining room, and you actually see it air blooming up through the up. Making the plastic billow up, and you actually see like it was having a mold explosion.
They're addressing it, but as long as they're on the hook for the future, then I'm fine with that. But hang on a minute, I want to hear the rest of the story. Got to find out what's going on in the world at large, and we'll be right back to you. Don't go away. All right.
Okay,
so
all right.
On that night, we'll get back to Murfreesboro Steve in moments. We got Leah and Marcus Hooks, James on the South Side, and there's room for you too on WGN Radio.
Over the mountain, across the sea, there's a girl waiting for me. Cross all the river, beyond every cloud, she's past the wind, blowing loud. Over the mountain, a girl waits for me.
Friend Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Johnny and Joe. And I play that often enough, but it was John who called last night and said, and where was John? I want to make sure I credit him correctly. John was in Waukegan. He said, I want to hear Johnny and Joe over the mountain, and I want to hear the raised silhouettes. And I said, and you will hear both of them if you are listening. So I hope indeed he was. Yeah, as I mentioned when I told him I'd play it last night, I've really been so high on that 1982 record. It was the last thing Johnny and Joe did together on ambient sound, and I just think it's the best little record, and Kingdom of Love, and it's been my choice for sound checks over the last 2 weeks. But hearing Over the Mountain, yeah, just sublime. All right, so now back to Murfreesboro Steve and the mold that he has mitigated, and so white carpeting. Oh man, I'm sure that wasn't your number one choice.
It looks awful pretty.
Oh yes, now it does.
However, there's special shoes I can only wear on the carpet.
Surprise.
And there's a reason for it, because I have plantar fasciitis, and so she got these special shoes for me, and that's the only thing I can wear on this carpet. And they got little markers on it, so I don't mix them up with any other shoes.
Good.
I did tell you I got my movies and comic books and magazine stuff.
Yes.
Did I say that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, thank you very much. Now, since you're going to go ahead and move all this furniture out, well, why don't we do the downstairs bedroom and do the kitchen?
Yeah.
So they took the kit, they untiled the kitchen and laid down. They're long. They're like, I guess they're like about a foot across and about 2 foot long tiles of, mm-hmm. of white polished marble kind
Ooh.
Of stuff.
Ooh.
And it looks really pretty, but it shows every little thing you
well,
think of.
Well, and there's another thing. It is as unforgiving as hell. Don't drop a glass.
Oh, I know.
They'll
show cracks and things.
Right. Even a coaster will be obliterated. No, anything that can be smashed to smithereens, it hits that marble and it's a goner.
Oh, yeah. There's a place there where we hang cast iron skillets on the side.
Well, now that could be
on the side of the cabinet.
That could be an interesting face-off.
Yeah.
I'd like to see
when you
do that. Well, by the way, you're going.
No, she already she's been hanging it there for years. But
mm-hmm.
the thing is, with the leftover carpet, she had an extra piece cut out and padded, and that little square is right under. Where all those skillets hang in case something happens by accident.
Uh-huh.
Well,
good thinking.
So, So anyway, like I said, we painted all these rooms and changed out all the light plugs. You know, instead of going to the old fashioned ones, we took those all out and she wired them. She actually rewired them herself. Those square ones with the flat switches. She did this to the entire house on her own. You know. And she's good at it. She watches all those help yourself shows, and so that kept us busy, you know, waiting to move back in. We lived in this motel, and it's pet friendly, so we were there with the cat, and we didn't want the maid to come in and let the cat get loose. So we just kept the sign, don't open our door, and we did our own vacuuming and cleaning, and had breakfast downstairs for 3 months, and dinner 3 days a week. You know, they furnished, well, not really dinner, but you know, food. The menu kind of got really monotonous after a few weeks. Now there was a break that we'd go down to the daughter's house and take turns taking care of the grandson. Now on a personal note, I had to go to one of those walk-in clinics.
Uh-oh.
Or something. Well, I'm there, and they're taking the vitals, and the nurse gets all frantic. She runs and gets this doctor, and she goes, "You have a heartbeat of 37." And I go, "No, not really, but it just looks like it's 37."
Right, exactly.
No, I have double beats.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Something's firing prematurely, of course, like it could be a ventricle situation. I know that, but yes, the uninitiated will see that and believe it, but no, other people will idiotly tell you, oh, you're missing heartbeats. You don't miss heartbeats. They fire prematurely. But anyway, go on.
Yeah. And, she was all in a panic mode because I had a 37 heart rate.
No.
And, I think it's from, well, it's a double beat, and it does, and whatever's monitoring, it doesn't pick up the second beat.
Well, no, that's absolutely correct. You know? It doesn't. But it would be advisable, if this is something that you haven't done already, to find out why.
Okay. No, I already have I went to tell him, says, no, I already have a cardiologist.
All right. And a stress echo would show where it is. And of course.
Oh, yeah. Well, they tried to put me in one of those MRI things.
No, you did.
It doesn't, they're having trouble with it, but. I think it's from listening to Dark Side of the Moon too many times. Actually.
Yeah. Well, that's nice to think, but actually, a standard stress echo should pick it up, and then what you do after that is a nuclear test, and the nuclear test will show the blood flow, because very often the stress echo may pick something up, but when the nuclear test shows sufficient blood flow, it's not something you necessarily have to treat.
Yeah. Well, they had me at Vanderbilt, and I was supposed to be hooked up to all these things, and they had me hooked up for a while, but when they had to unhook me for a reason, I come back, they didn't hook me up completely. So instead, I was supposed to get a pacemaker, a defib, a loop monitor, and they're supposed to do ablations. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. You know all about this.
I do.
Yeah, and so they didn't do the ablations, but I have the heart monitor. Inserted inside, and I got one of these Apple watches that goes off. You know, you're under 40 beats a minute, and I'm supposed to push a button on this thing. I keep in my keychain this thing next to my bed. Matter of fact, it went off twice while I was waiting to get on the show, and it wakes me in the middle of the night. It'll go off, and I'm supposed to push these buttons so they can figure out which nerves that they want to. Ever, and I'm not really.
They usually scar
happy
them.
About that idea.
And they may not need
once
to.
Once they're gone, they can't hook them back up. You know.
Right. And you may not need to. That's why I said before I would agree to any of that, I'd want a nuclear test because I'd want to know what's the blood flow doing.
Yeah.
So remind them of that.
I've had sleep studies. I got a CPAC, just the nose piece.
Well, so that's for obstructive apnea. Is that all it is? Probably.
They say that I quit breathing.
Well, no, of course, but it's a question of why. It can be obstructive, it can be central, and occasionally with treatment it can be complex. So it's probably obstructive. All right.
Yeah. What else? Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to keep this thing on, and even when I'm just relaxing and watching TV, and they also... the wife thinks I got narcolepsy, because you know a few times I was really tired and just nodded off out of
well,
clear blue.
Well, you're not doing any sleepwalking, talking any of those things at this point, are you?
Oh no! Okay. I've worked with people with narcolepsy. A guy in our scout troop, you know, he'd just nod off in the middle of a sentence. And
it can be interesting.
Right back on again. Yeah, and he goes. My cardiologist is going, you still driving? Driving? I ride a Harley Davidson. What are you talking about? he was not too...
Yeah, they're not pleased. Yeah, right.
Yeah, the wife kind of pulled my keys temporarily until they can get this thing fixed. But I'm not really very happy about that.
I don't blame you.
Sunday morning when there's no traffic and it's just me out there, so...
Well, I'd suggest you do more tests before you decide on anything, but good luck on whatever it is, and keep us posted.
Oh, yes. Yeah, anyway, so I've talked enough, I think.
Oh, you've done great. You've made up for all the lost time. We now all know what Murfreesboro Steve and his white carpet is up to, and keep us posted.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Steve. Right. Appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, white carpet. It looks so nice for such a brief period of time, but maybe the wife will actually be able to keep the no-shoes rule in place. Never worked for me. We will get to Leah. We'll get to Sam. More about mold. Oh, fine. But right now, and of course to James and his links, right now I want to talk about the CC Radio EP Pro. This is a terrific radio. And, you know, I go on and on about Bob Crane because I think he should be knighted. Years ago, when he discovered that current radios had lousy receptions, he vowed he'd do something about it. And boy, has he, with so many radios in so many different configurations, but the one thing they all have in common is great reception. And the CCEP Pro is a classic radio from the past. It gives you the simplicity of slide rule tuning, the needle and dial tuning. It's got one button for power, one button for a bright display light, no clock, no alarm. Yeah, it's a throwback and a wonderful one, especially if you like to DX. There is a tone switch plus a bass and treble control to fine-tune the audio to your perfect pitch. And inside, though, it's got that twin coil ferrite. Now that does for AM just things that nothing else will. It will not only make AM listening sound good, but you will pick up more stations using the twin coil ferrite antenna than you will with just about anything else. And it's built into the EP Pro. It's got a line-in jack so you can connect your smartphone for audiobooks or podcasts for voice clarity. Yeah, that's right. If you don't want to listen on your smartphone, you want to hear it with a good speaker, it's got one. You can go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. It's affordable, too. Look at the CC Radio EP Pro. You can order right online. You'll get great information as well as great products. If you can't go online, you can do it by phone, and that's 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. They're available to you 24 hours a day, world-class customer service. Now, if you want it tomorrow, really quick, buy Mart and Amazon, they'll sell it as well. But for the real deal radio experience, go to ccradio.com. You take a look at the EP Pro. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Dim light cast, two silhouettes on the shade. Oh, what a lovely couple they made. Put his arms around your waist, held you tight, kisses I could almost taste. In the night, wondered why I'm not the guy two silhouettes on the shade. I couldn't hide the tears in my eyes. Silhouettes, 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 silhouettes,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that is the Rays, Cameo Parkway, 1958, Silhouettes. Frank Slay wrote that along with Bob Crew, and it was John again who had requested that. So, John and Waukegan, I have officially played your two requests. I hope you heard them. So, 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Staying on the topic of mold for a moment, yes, a spellbinding discussion, no doubt. Sam is in Gurney, so what's up, Sam?
Hey, Raleigh, how are you tonight?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm doing good. You know, I listened into the conversation, and I'd ask you to preface this conversation with the reality that this is secondhand information. I worked at a place. This is information that was given to me by another man, so I don't know the validity to it. I can only say that I believe it. But I worked for a major building supplier about 20 years ago, and while I was there, I met a man who was a repeat customer, and during the time that I would service him, he began to share some information with me regarding Stachybotrys, is, I think it's spelled...
Stachybotrys. Yeah, very well aware of that, and its cousins Aspergillus, and yes, on and on. Had them all.
Yep, okay, so Stachybotrys. But anyway,
Botrys, yes.
He had a four-year-old granddaughter that had, she died, and it was in a, there was a building community in Texas. Mm-hmm. I don't know geographically exactly where it was at, but
yeah, there was a lot of it
there. Was a whole community that was built, and after the building, his four-year-old granddaughter had died, and
yeah.
So anyway, he was a strong component and very much avid fighter of the idea that there was something wrong with the production of drywall
right.
by the DuPont company.
Well, also by China, because they were using something that was just like fertilizer to mold.
Well, that may have been, but he was strongly about DuPont, and that's why I prefaced my message by saying, you know, I'm not, I don't have firsthand information, but what I will share with you is that while I was there and he shared with me, and I, like I said, over the course of time, you get a sense or a feel for a person, whether they're sincere or not, and I felt that he was being very sincere, and he had a strong fight against the DuPont company, not GPS, or is it GP, I'm sorry. There's another producer of drywall that I don't want to involve. But anyway, what happened was in the Texas situation, there were homes that were being built. And what happened was because the weather was so well, they did like there's a certain sequence in which you build, but they had the roofs off. They had put the drywall in this whole community prior to putting on the roofs because the weather was so well, there was rain. Then they put the roofs on, and as a result of the moisture in the walls, the drywall in each of those individual homes in that certain community created a lot of stachybotrys.
Yeah, stachybotrys. And I'm going to go to the news here in a moment, then we'll get back to it. But let me say, I know a lot about this, and I've never heard DuPont or any American supplier implicated. I have heard what came from China, and we'll talk about that. But there was a lot of contamination, and Texas and Florida were the two worst. But hang on, don't go away.
I will hang tough. Thank you, Raleigh.
We'll talk about that and find out what's going on in the world at large, and be back to 2 hours of whatever's on your mind here on WGN Radio. James, and that's for Stephanie in Madison. She wanted to hear it. For a moment there, I thought I was getting away with not playing it. I couldn't find it, but then I realized, oh no, it's not Rock and Roll Baby, it's Rock and Roll Baby. And when I thought of that, there it is, it came up immediately. And it's on Avco, 1973, got number 3 on the R&B charts, 14 on the pop charts. And Linda Creed and Tom Bell wrote that song, and and Tom produced it, so big hit. And Carol had said it sounded really good coming out of a shotgun jingle. And actually, I think one of the reasons it was a hit is it sounded good as an hour opener. You know, you could hit the legal ID, then hit that, and it was just a record made for it. And that might be the only reason anyone played it. But yeah, plus then with that intro, you could kind of do a promo for the next quarter hour, because it was a little while before the stylistics came in with the vocal. So, yeah. Well, I'm trying to explain it because nothing else explains why it was a hit. God, knows. So Sam is in Gurnee, and we were talking toxic mold. And I, again, want to stress that regardless, Sam, of what you've heard or who you've heard it from, I've been looking at this since this really broke. Gosh, it's a lot of years. It was occurring 2001 to 2008, as far as when the drywall was put in. And in every case, including all the legal cases, this is all originating from a Chinese company. And it was Naofqian. And the deal is that a lot of this went in, especially after the hurricanes, Katrina and Charlie and all of this. And there were over 6 million sheets of it imported from this Chinese company through various distributors. And yes, it absolutely was prone to mold. And depending on what drywall is made of, it can be very prone to mold. And now, of course, if you're willing to pay a little more, there are several companies that are capitalizing on that, saying, yeah, we've got mold resistant, no way to get, you know, mold guaranteed, it's not going to, but mold resistant drywall if you pay more for it. But so that's the deal on the mold. But your buddy's 4-year-old died, and that is a shame. That happens.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, Raleigh, I appreciate your comments, and I want to say that I have no argument with that, and I'm not knowledgeable enough to know.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to share was just what my experience was, and that is that when I had these conversations with this man, and his granddaughter had died, she was 4 years old. That's what really interested me. Not that I'm
right.
I'm not morbid by any sense, but obviously very concerned that a 4-year-old had died. But anyway, he had explained to me that this community had been built in Texas.
Yeah.
When they did the research,
right.
They found that the roofs were the final element of the building, and the drywall had actually been
exposed.
Exposed to the moisture.
Right.
Well, anyway, the long and short of it was that he did so much digging because he loved his granddaughter so much, and I believe that fully because, I mean, he was mm-hmm. very, very... very real to me. I mean, that
right.
what he was going through was true.
Right.
But he said, I wanted to get to the bottom of this because my 4-year-old granddaughter had died. He said that he did find that the drywall that was used in the production of all those homes in Texas, anyway, was produced by DuPont.
Well, like I say,
so
I refuse to let that fly, no matter what you hear.
Because, okay.
Let's not go there. I'm well aware of all
okay.
the lawsuits, and it's all coming out of this Chinese
okay.
company. So
that's not your point. Well, may have been produced
right.
in China, but can I complete my story at least?
Not if you're going to defame DuPont. You see, that's where I'm stopping you cold.
I'm not looking to defame.
Well,
anyone.
Then
I'm
don't mention it.
Looking to share the story.
Don't mention it again, or the call is over. Okay, you're welcome
okay.
to you're
okay.
welcome
well,
to
won't.
Continue, but not that. We're not going to defame
okay.
him.
Okay, well, I won't. But what I will say is that in his research, and I won't mention any company.
Oh, please,
but
don't worry about
research,
that. Yes, it's all old news. What are you bringing up that everybody doesn't know?
Well, I certainly wasn't looking for an argument. I was just trying to share to you that in his research, I listened to the previous call, and I was concerned about what the man had shared.
Yeah.
And in this man's research, he said that he had done interviews with people of a certain company, and he had learned that toxic materials. I'll be very brief here. He said that the amount of toxic materials that were being, like a company produces toxic materials, he said they paid so much
for right.
a barrel.
All right, that's really not the point here. The point here is have toxic mold, don't mitigate it yourself, get help.
No, I'm not talking about toxic
okay.
mold in a home, I'm talking about...
I'm not,
the,
let,
the,
let's just not,
the
I think we're done.
Facility.
I think we're done. I really do. And I think it's interesting he told you
can
that.
Can I please plead with you to just listen
no.
to me for one more minute?
No, I'm afraid I can't because this it doesn't matter. You've already have, and it's defamation to a company that I can't let it slide. I'm sorry, Sam. I just
well,
can't.
Well, that's why
all right,
I...
All right, so
okay,
we're not going to go there. Good night. All right, we're not going there. And, there is a drywall problem. There has been, and it is bigger than any one source. I would agree with that, though. The lawsuits and the 6 million pieces that were sold here came all out of the same Chinese firm, and there are many lawyers who have staked their reputation on this. At this point, the government had about 4,000 complaints from 42 states. Money has been paid out and all that, but the big thing on toxic mold. And as you know, if you listen to the show with any regularity, I stopped walking because of toxic mold. That was quite the saga. And that was 2002. And I was completely unaware what this was and how this happened. And bottom line is, so for the most part, was the medical community. It was over a year before it was fully diagnosed. But it's not just Stachybotrys, although that is a problem. Some strands of Aspergillus, there are others as well. But the bottom line is, if you are living somewhere and you are having unexplained symptoms, particularly if there are people in your house who are immune compromised or who are very young or very old, don't just assume that that all is well. You can test for toxic mold, as far as that goes. And even some of the home test kits might be a place to start. It's certainly not where I'd finish, and you can pick them up in any of the Home Depots of the world. And of course, you know, it doesn't cost much to buy the test kit. It costs when you're having it analyzed by the company. But even so, it's minor. But to say that a name brand company is to blame, or in any way involved in it, without that being verified, is just not going to fly on this show. I'm sorry. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And I believe that Leah is in Marcus Hook. But wait a moment. I'm looking at this saying, I think I better do something first. We'll be back to Leah in moments right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And Josh, I was just looking so much about toxic mold that I didn't bother to set up another bumper. But I will. And probably it'll punctuate what Leah wants to talk about, which is Paul Williams. So, all right, we'll do a Paul Williams bumper coming up. But Leah and Marcus Hook, welcome to WGN Radio.
How are you feeling? Did your fever go down?
You know, it did a little, and then it came back up, and it's kind of undulated. But yeah, about 4 in the morning, it started to break.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Me too.
I'm so glad. Yeah, that happens to me sometimes, too. I'll be feeling really rotten, and then I'll take my temperature, and I'll be like, oh, no wonder I feel rotten.
You're right, exactly. And you wonder, is it mind over matter? Exactly.
Yeah. I remember when you first had the black mold. You were here in Philly, and
you took
your mirror off the wall, and you were on the air, and you said you took the mirror off the wall, and it was all black mold under the mirror.
Well, see, I didn't even know it was mold. You're 100% right remembering that. What happened was I took the mirror off the living room wall above the mantel, and what I saw, I thought I saw, was like a sheet of black velvet. And so
I remember you said it was all black.
Yeah, all black velvet, and like an idiot, I got no mask, I got no nothing, and I get up there, and of course, what do I use? Oh my God, I use Clorox. So anyway,
I remember
right. I did everything you could have done wrong, I did wrong. And again, black mold is not uncommon. Not all of it is terribly toxic. There is one form of Stachybotrys that it's Stachybotrys chartarum, and that is awful. And of course, that's exactly what I was breathing in. But, you know, that year when I stopped walking, they said, well, it's from lupus, it's from Lyme, it's, you know, on and on. And that was a year. If it wasn't for Bryn Mawr, if it wasn't for Bryn Mawr rehab, I probably still wouldn't be walking.
Yeah, that was scary.
Yeah.
So that's the first time I ever heard about it too. When you were talking about it, I was like, oh my God.
And this was, and this was an expensive, this is Chad's Ford. This was on 5 acres. You know, this was not cheap housing. But, you know, when I researched it, the previous person who owned the house had finally been confined to a wheelchair and then died. And I thought, my God, the woman died from the mold. I'll just bet it.
From the mold. Yeah. I bet so. Yeah. Well, I wanted to lighten the mood a little bit.
Good.
Me and Albert and I have been going to this used record store, and we've been buying a lot of records, albums on eBay and stuff from the 70s. We've been trying to replenish our old collections that we used to have, and you wouldn't like any of it, but
that's all right.
We we got Paul Williams, and I love Paul Williams from Phantom of the Paradise and his other music, too. And I just think he's a really good songwriter.
Yeah.
And we found this album of his, and there's this song on it, and it's probably hands down the funniest song you've ever heard.
What's the album? What's the album?
I don't know the name of the album, but the song is on YouTube, and I wanted you to play it to give everybody a good laugh. You Are Gonna Die. It is so funny. We've been singing it to each other as a joke, and it's called To Put Up With You.
Okay.
And it's on YouTube Music, and you just got to play it till the first chorus.
It's actually hysterical. It's actually, I think, and yes, Paul Williams did write it, but the Sandpipers put it out as a single. Believe it or not, it was a flip side. But he wrote it with Roger Nichols. Yeah, it is a Paul Williams song, but
hysterically funny. It's like, who would even write that to somebody? It's really, really hysterically funny. You're going to get a good laugh out of it, you and John. Everybody's going to get a really good laugh out of it.
Okay, I'll do it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it's on this computer because I actually like some of his stuff, truth be known.
He's an ingenious songwriter.
And like I said,
he wrote for the Carpenters, he wrote for Streisand, he wrote for so many different people.
Yeah, first time I heard it was on that Sandpipers flip side, like I say, which, you know, they were an A&M group that would do things like Antonio Carlos Jobim songs. It wasn't, you know, something you typically think they would do. And then the Sunshine Company put it out, and the American Breed put it. This is all in '68, and it was on a Paul Williams album cut as well. But 68 and '69, it was all the rage.
Yeah, it's funny. Funny because you think it's a normal song, and then the chorus comes, and you're like, "What?"
All right. Well, you've let me see if it's on this computer, because if it is, I'll play it now. If not, it's probably on a drive nearby, because I do have it. I'm sure I do.
By Paul Williams?
I probably have the Sandpipers version, but I can find the Paul Williams, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's right on YouTube. I found it right away on YouTube Music.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of using that, but I will find it, and I will be happy to play it.
Thank you,
my
and I
pleasure.
Hope everyone enjoys it and their mood is lifted.
Well, absolutely. You betcha.
Okay, right. Thanks, Raleigh.
Yeah, there's a lot of songs like that you say, I can't believe you wrote this. Yeah, Michael Bacon's Big Mouth comes to mind. Yeah, keep your big mouth shut. But, all right, we'll get the Paul Williams on, too. Let's see. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and that is going to take us to James on the South Side. How's it going, James? No, he can't say anything. I don't think I got a first answer the phone. All right, so I thought I did, but no. Well, here he is, I think. James, are you there, James? Going once, going twice. Why am I not hearing James? Well, let me put James on hold, and I'll start all over again. I don't know what went wrong, but something clearly. All right, now, James on the South Side. There's a proper introduction. Are you there?
Hello.
There you are.
Yeah.
All right.
How are you?
All right, what's happening?
He wanted to, Megan and him wanted to be up in the stands with the rest of the royal family. And of course, I guess I told, hey, you walked away.
What?
Why do you want the benefits but not the work?
Well, not only that part of it, what I don't understand is if you spent all that time trying to divorce yourself from a family, which he literally was, that you consider to be this toxic, why would you want to be there, period?
Yeah, it looks like Harry is kind of basically, as well.
Oh, no, now I know why we didn't hear you. Your cell phone is eating you. Your cell phone is eating you alive. Hang on a minute. I'll have you negotiate with John, and hopefully we will figure out whether you have to call back or not, because that's what it is. James is being devoured by his own cell phone. It was bound to happen. All right, so we'll pick it up right there, coming up on WGN Radio.
Every day is an endless train. You got to ride it to the end of the line. Be a troubleshooter, blow the bad luck away, and you will make it to your station on time. And you'll find out every trick in the book, and that there's only one way to get things done. You'll find out the only way.
You know, it's so funny. I was sitting here saying, and you know, I'm going to screw this up one way or another. And just now did. That was completely unintentional, and you don't even want to know what I was doing. But Bachman Turner Overdrive certainly were doing wonderfully well as far as I was concerned in the summer of 76, even if it wasn't a hit. But it was a great record looking out for number one. All right, so on that note, we're going to try James on the South Side again, though I can tell it's not even Mercury retrograde or other moon aspects that would cause the demise of this particular. I do it on my own, actually. I don't need celestial help. So, James on the South Side, are you there? Is your phone acting up?
Well, it looks like called back. Moved to a different part of the house.
Good.
Does this sound better?
Yes, you're fine. You're absolutely fine. And yes, you're right. You have all the royal stories in the world, and it really makes me wonder why anyone cares about this stuff.
Yeah, you know. Okay, actually, even I guess Fergie even. Made a comment to that, and it's just you basically you say, you actually ask Harry, didn't you want to actually get away from the stress and the noise and the it looks like you just invited it all the way.
Well, right. Obviously, they could keep teams of shrinks busy. But Fergie got some flack for making a comment, and then she said the comment was taken out of context. She was not actually talking about Harry and Meghan. She was talking about herself, because, of course, she, too, is an ex, she's not really a royal, but an ex-insider, being that she was, in fact, married to Andrew. But yeah, the way people hang on this really makes me wonder. I know why the tabloids do it. They're selling magazines, but the question is, why is anybody buying them?
Yeah, and I guess it's because now that I guess the Queen's not around, okay, it's got to find somebody who's interested in what's talking about.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I can think of.
Right.
And I'm like thinking, really? That okay? This group as a whole, I mean, okay, and does credit by her charity work and everything else she does. Of course, number four child, Edward, does well by just, Andrew should just simply quietly just simply go to his room.
Yeah, well, right. They don't do anything quietly, obviously. But again, why anybody cares is a mystery. But in some ways, they're weapons of mass distraction. But I find it sad that people are that easily distractible when all hell is breaking loose in other quadrants of the world. Now, for me, I thought the big news was not about bank failures. It was Tupperware is in danger of going out of business. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. I noticed. I'm like, okay.
After 77 years, they don't have enough cash. Now, if they'd kept that Tupperware museum up, okay, I'm kidding. But yes, Tupperware could be delisted because it didn't file an annual report, which is a little odd. But that's the deal. The Tupperware could be a thing of the past. And I don't think anybody will miss lime green. The picture in the article I saw had the lime green Tupperware. I'm like, not the best representation.
Yeah, but, you know, Tupperware, I mean, okay, if you want high quality and stuff. Now, I know, I think it was on the John Williams show this morning or something like that. Somebody piped in, or maybe it was Lisa Dent, one piped in, I don't use that stuff. I buy glass and put the metal thing. I'm like thinking,
well, la-di-da.
Oh, that stuff is very expensive. And if your hands happen to have suffer from your hands, suffer from Bumbleruski.
It does. It doesn't survive the marble floors that our first caller, Murfreesboro Steve, put in. No, it absolutely doesn't. And Tupperware, of course, goes back to 1942 when Earl Tupper developed the bell-shaped container, which I thought was the most useless container. I much prefer their squares. You can stack them on top of one another when they're full and all that kind of stuff. But apparently, Tupperware was big until this last decade. And in fact, the top market for Tupperware in the last decade is Indonesia. More Tupperware in Indonesia per capita than anywhere else. Number two is Germany. And Indonesia's sales were over 200 million just about 10 years ago. So that's pretty good. And of course, Tupperware developed the that wonderful direct marketing strategy, the Tupperware parties. And we could go on at length with jokes about that.
Oh yeah, but okay, and I still think they're useful. I mean, okay, they're still better than some of the other ones that. And then you can get some really crappy stuff that and you'll realize at the moment they drop.
Oh right,
and
or
the thing pops off while it splits, it opens up. I mean, all that, and then you say, "Boy, just a little more money, I could have bought Tupperware or even Glad lock ones or something like that. That'd be easier." And I wouldn't be shoveling up stuff to throw in the garbage.
I'm surprised you have this much time to worry about what you're putting your leftovers in. For me, I'll take anything handy. But if you're buying Tupperware in America, still, they make most of their sales in these ridiculous parties. So, James, have you ever been to a Tupperware party?
No, I never been invited.
But it's for the best. All right. So apparently they're doing some direct marketing now, and I know they sell at Target and other places as well. But originally it was all these parties. And in fact, they had a director of marketing who was, I guess, the original party planner. And there are pictures even. So apparently parties have taken place in every venue you can imagine and some you can't.
Oh, wow. Oh, let me tell you, if you think about marketing going wrong, think of Bud Light, where they put the they tried this transgender character with drinking a Bud Light, and then, of course, then wondered why they got the complete blowback on it.
Well, don't they have a history of this? Wasn't it, in fact, Spuds McKenzie, the bulldog? And wasn't it people who actually said they thought the beer was made from dogs? I mean, you got to be kidding me. Of course they'd continue in a bigger way. But yes, after Spuds McKenzie, some people said, well, the beer's made from potatoes. Other people said, no, it's made from dogs. Regardless, it was not made from anything, and it was introduced at the Super Bowl 1987. They say the dog was an immediate hit. There was no word if the beer was, so there you have it. All right, as always, a wonderful cavalcade of stories. I loved every one of them.
Somebody gave me some Spud McKenzie gym shoes once.
You don't still have them, do you?
I think I might, although I don't know. Because I threw out so much over the years that I might, and who knows. If I still got them, and I have a suspicious feeling that I may have them somewhere.
Well, if you still have them, it's time to call those people who advertise on WGN that they'll get rid of your junk. You might have them over tomorrow.
No, I don't have enough junk for that.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Appreciate it, James.
Okay. Bye-bye. You take care.
You too.
Okay. Bye.
And we'll get to James in Oregon, and there's room for you too. Clearly anything goes right here on WGN Radio.
Haven't noticed you, girl, 'cause I noticed you right away. And don't think I haven't been listening, girl, 'cause I hear every word you say. Yes, I'd like to hang around, but I'll have to let you down. I just haven't got what it takes to put up with you. Don't think I'm not impressed with your looks, 'cause I think that you look just fine. And don't think I haven't considered you, girl, or the fact that you could be mine. Yes, I'd like to hang around, but I'll have to let you down. I just haven't got what it takes to put up with you.
Sounds good to me. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's 1970 from the Someday Man album, Paul Williams, and that's the one that Leah was laughing about on her prize. And actually, it's a fine tradition of songs that make you wonder. I was just thinking of Ben Sidran. We might want to play, you're saying, who? Well, maybe we'll play that after the news, because, yeah, another one of those soothing, tasteful melodic messages, or not. All right, so James in Oregon, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, good evening.
How's it going?
How you doing?
Can't complain. How are you feeling? How is all the treatment going?
Oh, the treatment's fine. It just kicks my butt a little bit when I'm done, and then I recuperate fairly quickly sometimes.
Good.
So it's good.
Good.
Not too bad. It's better than the alternative, I've been told.
Oh, of course. absolutely. And, you know, dialysis is one of those things that some people do opt not to do it for a variety of reasons. And my morning man's wife on the FM just wouldn't, because her brother had died through related infections. And she said, well, if I ever need that, I'm not going to do it. Well, she needed it. And sadly, she died. That's the alternative.
Well, it's you know, I ask a lot of questions when I'm in there, and I think they get tired of it. But I said, you know, before I started this, they kept telling me what my bun rate. That's your blood, urine, and nitrous thing.
Uh-huh.
I don't want them to think it's my back end, but my bun rate and your filtration rate, and it gets down below 17%. Then they put you on dialysis, or they recommend it. And I got down to about 6% or something like that. And they took me right into surgery and put that temporary catheter in me. And then they did this thing in your arm. They call it a fistula or something.
Right.
But anyways, I said, how do I know what my filtration rate is and stuff like that? Do you give me updates on this stuff? And I said, you tell me about everything else, but you don't tell me about that. And I said, that's what I want to know. I want to know how well my kidneys are functioning now and stuff like that. And it's like once they get you on this stuff, they don't tell you anything else, but they'll tell you, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. But I want to know the filtration rate, and I want to know my bun rate.
You can.
And so, I think these people are starting to listen to me a little bit and that, but, it's all good. They're always coming up with new things, and, supposedly they're coming up with some artificial kidney now that can replace it. And another thing of interest I heard, is California is going to do a opt-out on organ donations, like instead of putting on your license that you're an organ donator, it's going to have to be you don't want to donate, and then they're going to, that's what they're pushing through their legislature. Mm-hmm. I heard that a couple of weeks ago on the radio, so I don't know how true that is.
Well, there's several states that have suggested it, that you would automatically be a donor unless you took the step to opt out. I assume if the legislature passes that, the assembly in California, that'll be a lawsuit. That'll be in court, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, I thought that was interesting there and what they're doing. But I had a laughter when you were talking with James from the South Side about Tupperware, because my first wife back in the 70s, early 70s, sold Tupperware. And the only guy that was making money off of it was the distributor, you know.
But, you know, it's still, when you get into that multi-level marketing, I don't care what the product is, there's still that tinge of Ponzi scheme to it in terms of who makes the money. And the earliest people in very often make a fortune. But, you know, you're further down that line, good luck, you've got a garage full of stuff.
Yeah, well, and she'd order, and nothing went out of the warehouse, distributed warehouse, unless it was paid for. And mm-hmm. she had to pay for any of the gifts she gave away, any of the stuff she took to the little parties to show to get people to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he said, hey, well, I'll give you a check when I get it, she paid it up front, and then she had a hope you were going to buy it. And mm-hmm. we got stuck with a lot of stuff.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, yes. No, as I say, people with garages full of things, of course.
Yeah. But anyway, and so I had a laugh about that stuff. And her manager, now they did okay. They got a car from Tupperware, you know, Tupperware car, kind of like
right.
the Mary Kay cars.
Right, yes.
And stuff.
Yes, the pink Cadillac. Yeah,
stuff like that. And they got a lot of good gifts and things like that. But, yeah, she did it for, I don't know, about 6 months or so. And,
yeah.
And working, you know, going late at night because parties were in the evening and stuff like that. And it just wasn't any good, so she quit. And she gave up on that. But, you know, you're talking about drywall. I heard the same thing you did that back, I don't know how many years ago it was, but they was like a batch of drywall. That
it had,
come
it
from
had
China.
Like cellulose or something. It had a substance that was so mold-philic as opposed to mold rejection that you almost knew it was going to happen. And I think it was cellulose.
And then,
but you've ended the hour. Call me again soon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's good. I'm not. I'm delighted you called, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Have a good one.
And that's where we'll pick it up. Next hour, another hour. Hopefully, we'll be talking to you on WGN Radio.
They got a song for winners. They got a song for those who lose. They got a song for dealers, yes. They got a song for those who use. They got a song for beggars. They got a song for those who choose. But baby, they don't have a song for a sucker like you, sucker like you. What's that you're saying? That you have been misunderstood. You wanna take the time and clear it up. A matter of fact, I wish you would. And if it's a real long story, take your time. You can't make it good, make it true. Cause baby, they don't have a song for a sucker like you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, when Leah was mentioning the Paul Williams song, I thought, boy, I can think of a number of things like that where you really got to worry about the lyrics. And, of course, Ben Sidran immediately came to mind. And he's from Chicagoan, as far as that goes. Born in Chicago in 1943. And, yeah, he was an early member of the Steve Miller Band. And his son, Grammy-nominated musician Leo Sidran. And, quite a lot of accomplishments. Bushmans did session work for everybody from Eric Clapton and the Rolling Stones to, you name it, Boz Scaggs, Peter Frampton, on and on it goes. And I thought he was just terrific. And I think it was around the time that Steve Miller and Boz Scaggs both were leaving Wisconsin for the West Coast, he said, no, I'm staying in school, and got a degree in English literature and did a PhD at the University of Sussex in England, and returned to Madison and was teaching at the university, mostly on the business of music, and did some NPR shows and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, very, very accomplished. But my favorite was always Song for a Sucker Like You. Yes. And other tasteful, soothing dinner hour selections. All right, so Fran in Austin. Wait a minute, where'd the magic twanger go? Oh, here we are. What's happening tonight, Fran?
Just Gary and I were just saying that it would be a good set if you played You're Moving Out Today after those two other ones.
You know, I will play that, and I'm also going to play a Michael Bacon song, and that's Kevin Bacon's older brother, and it's called Big Mouth, and I think you'll like that too.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Yeah. But yes, I have attended a Tupperware party.
How did this come about?
Well, in my defense, I was young. I had my first apartment, and, you know, I'm into that whole thing of getting stuff for my apartment.
Mm-mm.
So, I think I spent more than I should have, you know, especially, you know, the first apartment and all that kind of thing.
Mm.
Just kind of learning how to keep my bills paid and all of that. And, so a friend of mine had a Tupperware party, and she said, oh, you know, please come to my Tupperware party, you know. I'm afraid nobody's going to show up, and, oh, please, I need you there. Okay, so, you know, I went, and they have a lot of cool stuff, though. It's too bad there, but they're expensive.
They are.
I wanted to get some Tupperware and recently, because all mine gone in various moves I've made, mm-hmm. and so forth. That's one thing, is like, I want my mom's Tupperware when she passed.
Right, absolutely, yes, yes.
I didn't care about the, you know, the china or, you know, anything like that she had. I wanted her Tupperware.
No, I relate to this so heavily. And, you know, of course, I've lost everything through various moves because I've moved, you know, 32 times. But there was one time when John and I both, I gave up all of my Pyrex, and it was from the 40s and 50s. I had no idea.
Oh, that's good stuff. I still have one Pyrex dish from that time.
Well, I had everything. I mean, you name it. I had closets full of 40s and 50s Tupperware. I had no idea that it wasn't the same stuff that's made today, that they use a different process, and now they explode in the oven and all those kind of things. So of all the things that I miss that I've given away, that is top of mind every time I think of things is, oh, God, not all the Pyrex.
Yeah. Oh, I know. When I moved out, somebody gave me a set of Pyrex, and I must have, see, I moved out in 74.
Okay.
And I think I still had it when I got married in 82. I think it got lost in my move from California to Austin.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, I had the whole set, and it went with me everywhere. I mean, I loved it.
I had platters you could bake a turkey on, and I had the all Pyrex poached egg thing, and, you know, you name it. I had bowls of every possible configuration. I had probably 30 bowls. I don't know. You know exactly what you needed that stuff for, I'm not sure, but I had it. A double boiler, you know, and on the list went. Of course, all the coffee makers, but that didn't matter because I don't drink coffee. But the other stuff, and I remember when we gave it away, the person we gave it to, you sure you want to give me this? And we did not know you couldn't replace it. Yeah, absolutely. We're moving to Canada. You know, and, you know, so that, and we always kind of, this was before I stopped using moving companies because I had too much to move. But before, when I used moving companies, I had one rule. I would only take what could fill up one truck. And of course, I was always over weight limits, and they had to drive on back roads and all that. But I refused to have them bring another semi. And, you know, there are people who talk about, well, I'm a partial load. I've never been a partial load. I'm the whole semi. Yeah. So then I found, oh, there's other ways to ship things. All right, I'll never use a mover again. And I don't.
Yeah, I didn't. I shipped a lot of things when I moved from California to here, and it's stupid. If I had it to do over again, there are so many things I'm thinking, why did I send that?
Oh, absolutely.
I could have gotten it replaced cheaper than it was to send it.
Oh, of course, of course. And, you know, I'll tell you what, though. You go through that, and then you beat yourself up for what you send, but the three things you didn't were the things like the Tupperware that say, why didn't I keep this?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Boy, I'm with you.
Yeah, but also remember Mailmac?
Oh, God, yes, yes. And anyone who came of age in the 50s, it was this plastic kind of dishware. And I remember I had a set where it had this pink rose on them. And, oh, God, yes, Mailmac, of course. You couldn't break it. It was impossible.
No. In fact, the first, I had regular dishes also, but my mother was like, well, I'll give you my Mailmac. I guess she was afraid I was going to break all the dishes.
Right, right, exactly.
And the funny part of it was, when dishes were broken at our house, it was usually she that did it, not me.
Right. Oh, but that was so huge. And it started in the 40s, but man, in the 50s, when I really was, ready to have dishes, that pink thing, you know, I've actually seen pictures online of the pink thing with the weird pink rose on it. So I guess that was a very common Mailmac thing.
It must have been. I don't remember what ours had on it. I just remember those little cereal bowls.
Oh, yeah.
That's how
I used
to get my cereal.
Yes, and I mean, it had everything, including the little gravy dish, and yes.
Yeah, and a big, huge platter. We had that big, huge meat platter that they had.
Right, and then they had things that had two compartments. I never really figured out why, you know.
Yeah, we had some that had, there was... Oh, no, that was Tupperware. There was something that we had that had three compartments on a plate, and then it had a lid that goes over it. And when I was a little kid, none of my food could touch my other food.
What do you mean? I'm still that way.
I know people that are still that way, and yeah. I've kind of gotten over it, although there are certain things that I still am kind of picky about. Other people were like, oh, what's the big deal? Like, I don't like cake and ice cream on the same plate.
I would agree.
And, you know, I used to go to kids' birthday parties and, no, I just want cake, please, because I didn't want the ice cream
on it. Right, absolutely.
You know?
I understand this completely. I really do. The only thing I was ever willing to mix, and I have no idea why, is I would mix over easy eggs with the hash browns.
Oh, I always do that.
Yeah, that's the only exception. That's the only exception I make.
Or sometimes I'll scoop them onto my toast.
Well, that, you know, I might consider that, although I tend to keep toast on.
If I don't have hash browns.
Right, yeah, right. If there are no hash browns available, right. But, I agree with this. I think that's sensible eating.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Too bad my doctor doesn't.
Well, the hell with him. Why would you tell him?
That's true. I don't.
Exactly.
I don't know why I haven't lost any weight. I'm eating pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Exactly. I'm down to one meal a day now.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I wish I could, I should get some Tupperware before they, because I want their little vegetable keeper.
Kept
things nice and crisp.
You know, they probably won't completely go out of business, but they had to file this because they're about to be delisted.
Well, also, they have a lot of things now that do the same thing that are cheap. Like, I wanted Tupperware, but I thought, this is ridiculous. I'll just buy this Glad stuff. And they have, it's better than the stuff that you're supposed to be able to throw away, but it's not Tupperware.
Right.
But it seals pretty well, and it does what I want it to do. It's just there are sizes I'm thinking, what would anybody use this teeny, itty-bitty little square?
I have that particular square. I think that might be for salad dressing. I'm not sure.
Oh, Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, if you make your own salad dressing, which I tend to do, then you can put them in those little useless things. And yeah, absolutely. I'm a sucker for containers, so I've got everything.
Me too. I love to go. Well, oh, take me to the container store.
Yes.
I'm a happy lady.
Yes, and Rubbermaid has very different levels of quality, but their top of the line Rubbermaid is pretty good stuff.
Yeah, that's what it was I got, Rubbermaid.
Yeah, if it's the top-of-the-line stuff, it's actually good. Now, those ones that are just like disposables or whatever, I don't know what they're made of, and I don't want to know. But now, if you really want to knock yourself out, you can get the Pyrex glass storage.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, whether or not this explodes in an oven, I don't know. That's up to you. But, you know, I leave it there. But, now, I have worried because they occasionally will list things like healthy alternatives to Tupperware. And the one that said cotton reusable sandwich wraps, I said, no, absolutely not. I don't care if they're eco-friendly, out of the question.
I'm sure that they will be at a store very near me soon.
Yeah, well, in Austin, you betcha. Yeah, it'll be right there at the checkout counter. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's another thing that drives me crazy about people. Why, if somebody likes something, does everybody else have to like it?
Exactly.
I don't get that, and they're, you know, it's like, okay, if you want to be a vegetarian, fine. Be a vegetarian, leave me to my steak, and just... You know, let's just live together and whatever. But you know.
That's exactly right,
if they like something, they have to insist, oh, I like this music, so everybody's got to like it.
Or, you know, it's good for the environment, so you can't have that, whatever it is, if you're offending them in any way. But you mentioned meat and steaks. John, in therapy, one of the things is there's certain exercises you do, and while you're doing them, every time you move something, you have to recite something. It's for, you know, cognition and stuff, like states,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
states and all that. So, you know, she said, well, all right, we've done states. What else can you do? So John was thinking, couldn't think of anything. I said, steaks. And she said, what? I said, steaks. And so she's just like, well, no, he'd need to know 20 of them. I said, don't you know 20 steaks? And she looked at me like I'd lost my mind, you know, and I'm like, porterhouse, filet, Delmonico, skirt, you know, and so I rattle them off, and John is just kind of inching away from me. I'm like, yeah, steaks, T-bone, and so, yeah, I thought.
T-bone, New York, strip.
Exactly. That's right. I thought it was a reasonable category. They rejected it.
Oh, rat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, anyway, it sounds like things are going well. I'm sure there are ups and downs and good and bad days.
Yeah. No, physically. And, of course, we're still in that period where, you know, recurrence is likely. So we're on, you know, pins and needles about that. But other than that, he's an anomaly, to say the least. He wasn't supposed to live and he wasn't supposed to recover and all that. And he's doing fine. He's walking without a walker.
Well, that's what don't listen to so-called experts.
That's exactly right. So, yeah.
All right.
Well, good to talk to you. Thanks, Fran.
Sure.
Appreciate it. All right. 888-876-5593. Yeah, Big Mouth is coming up by Michael Bacon soon. It's another one. Man, well, you'll hear it for yourself on WGN Radio.
Speak to me with your body, leave your mind at home. I never thought she'd leave me, but here I am alone. You know I'm on the rebound, no place to go but up. People know what you're doing here, so keep your big mouth shut. Keep your big mouth shut. Don't say a word about her. Ain't none of your concern. I don't need no sympathy. Leave them bridges burn. I only need a substitute, a temporary crutch. So don't go acting smart with me, and keep your big mouth shut. You're only second string, you'll never be above her. It may sound cruel, but it's the truth. You're just a designated lover.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I laugh every time I hear that. Michael Bacon, and 1975, it was on Monument. And I remember when this album came out, because at CBS Records, we got a publicity department in Nashville, and they hired a guy, and he hired a secretary, a little girl who had just graduated from Vanderbilt. And she went on to a hell of a career in Nashville, by the way. But in any, Marianne McCready was her name. In any event, I'll never forget the look on this woman's face when she heard the lyrics to Big Mouth. And she just thought that this was the worst thing in the world. So, of course, I thought it was the absolute best. Just thought it was a great little song, and the album did absolutely nothing. But yes, that's Big Mouth, Michael Bacon, on the Love Song Believer album, Monument. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And Stephanie is in Madison. What's up, Stephanie?
Hey, Raleigh. Just all kinds of things I was thinking about, because this has been quite a variety of topics and Tupperware, and I have to tell you, by the way, I really appreciated you putting your foot down with the one caller, you know, about the, because you got to be careful what you say about, you want to be fair, and I think you're very fair-minded.
I like Sam. In fact, I think he's called back, and we'll be talking to him again. But, you know, the story can be about what drywall will do or whatever, but you can't go accusing, companies of being involved in things like that. And you can't say, I've heard or whatever. These are, or somebody's told me. These are innuendos. And the story can be told without ever implicating the company, because the real story here of all this was the cellulose component of the drywall. And it was the Chinese company. There, for years, and maybe still, is a percentage of cellulose along with the gypsum, but the gypsum's supposed to outweigh the cellulose. But in this case, it didn't work out that way. And so they shipped what were almost mold creators, 6 million sheets to America. And
that's horrific.
Yeah. And, of course, the results, most of the time, again, most people are not going to be affected at all, even if they encounter Stachybotrys. But a small percentage of people, like me, I stopped walking, or like a young child or an older person may die. It's a very small percentage. But I'll tell you what, there are some law firms that have been cleaning up over that drywall.
Maybe a small percentage, but you're still dead.
That's absolutely
sick.
Right. Well, and the most frustrating part is getting anyone to believe you. You know, in my case, I didn't have that problem because I didn't even know that's what it was. Never even occurred to me. But for people, you know, like I've known a very small percentage of people who've lived near wind farms, you know, the windmills, that have had all sorts of problems. And getting people to believe it is the most frustrating part. It's much easier to just move.
In the song, you know, you're talking about the, like I say, there's a whole bunch of different things that I just found really interesting, the songs. I went and talked to my hubby during commercial break about Paul Williams, because I really wasn't familiar with him. And he explained it, mentioned all the songs that he wrote, like Out in the Country with Three Dog Night, which is one of my favorite Three Dog Night songs. And they were just, that song was funny, but you talk about songs that have lyrics that will, well, Mose Allison, he wrote a song called, what is it, Your Mind's on Vacation and Your Mouth's Working Overtime?
Right. Like
yeah. And I was thinking about the famous put-down lines. Like, for example, R.E.M., they have that song, this one goes out to the one I love, just a simple prop. I can't talk. Just a simple prop to occupy my time. I'm telling you, you know. And Bob Dylan, of course, Positively 4th Street. Wow. You know, there's, but, I've totally enjoyed this. But I wanted the Tupperware thing, that's what really made me want to call. I have a few pieces left that back around 1977-78, before I met my hubby, well, just around the time I met my hubby, we weren't married or anything, but I was living in a townhouse apartment complex, and we all had a lot of friends. Our kids were young, and this one couple gave Tupperware parties. It was both of them. The guy had had food service experience, and he and his wife, we would all take turns giving Tupperware parties, you know, one apartment or townhouse to the other. And they were very adult Tupperware parties. We would be having little snacks and stuff, but we'd also be, you know, smoking good stuff and drinking good stuff. And I still have the green canisters. Lime green, and they're in really decent shape.
Yeah.
Everything else, I think, eventually I got rid of, but except I have a few party favors, Tupperware party favors, that I have a citrus peeler, like for peeling oranges and lemons and stuff, and other, you know, but we would just kind of almost like a round robin of Tupperware parties, and I actually went to a Tupperware kind of a recruiting thing, and I wasn't going to do it, you know, but there was somebody.
Oh, wait
company.
A minute. I just realized something. I might have completely blown the news. I'm not 100% sure, but I think I have. Hold on a minute. Don't go away.
All right.
Usually John comes in and says, you know, the news is on, but I think it's probably been on, but if not, it should be on right now on WGN Radio.
You're sitting there yakking right in my face. I guess I'm going to have to put you in your place. You know, if silence was golden, you couldn't raise a dime. Because your mind is on vacation and your mouth is working overtime. You quoting figures and dropping names. You're telling stories about the dames. You're over laughing when things ain't funny. You're trying to sound like the big money. You know if talk was criminal, you'd lead a life of crime. Because your mind is on vacation and your mouth is working overtime.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, a fine put down song. You know, if silence was golden, you couldn't raise a dime. Oh, man. Yeah. If you must keep talking, please make it rhyme, because your mind is on vacation and your mouth is working overtime. All right. So, Stephanie and Madison suggested that, and a fine choice it was.
Hey, thank you. The one thing I wanted to, there was somebody that worked with the Tupperware company and helped Earl Tupper really get it off the ground, this woman, Brownie.
Yeah, oh, Brownie, yeah.
Yep. I guess, you know, she really was quite successful. Then they had some kind of a falling out, and he more or less kicked her to the curb, I guess, you know. But, I remember Tupperware from way, way, way back when.
Yeah.
And you hear these ads, and they talk about the little burp, you know, to make sure the seal was...
Sure.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, I have just... I'd had a bunch of gotten the canisters, like the, you know, classic 70s, the kind of the orange and the real pretty lime green. They must have, you know, gotten rid of or given away different things that I had, but I still have those canisters, and they look really decent. You know, they're not sometimes plastic. It'll yellow or get old, and the older Tupperware, it was harder to clean. You had to use baking soda and stuff like that, you know. But yeah, but. Hearing you talk about your old Tupperware, it does change, and sometimes it's not the product that you expect.
Yeah, it's not the Tupperware. For me, it was the Pyrex, because today's Pyrex has been known to explode.
I read about that.
Yeah,
I've had
that happen a couple times in an oven. And
I've got some really old Pyrex that my mom had given me.
Hold on to it. I was such a fool, such an absolute fool. But if I listed all the stupid things I've done, we'd be here till Sunday.
Oh, sweetheart, I could join you. We'd be here till go into the next century.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I just had to call and was enjoying everybody. I love James from the South Side. Everybody, but really, really interesting, fun show.
And I appreciate that. And your five Royales will be on tomorrow.
Yay! I listen. Okay. Yay!
Yeah, you heard your stylistics.
Oh yes, I did. I was enjoying it, and the commentary too. And thank you for playing it.
My pleasure.
The little Joey with his orthopedic shoes.
Oh.
I love that song. I just I absolutely love it. Nobody can sing the blues the way my little Joey do. Oh yeah, that's a sweet song.
All right,
you're laughing. I had a your reaction when I first asked you. It was like I said, you dead silence.
Yeah,
hearing,
well, it's
birds tweet, crickets and birdies tweeting, and trucks kind of going. Mm.
Yeah, it's an hour opener. Yeah, as I say, the stations are always looking for those hour openers, and that saved that record.
Yep. Well, thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you have a real good one.
Okay, bye.
You guys take care.
We'll
okay?
try.
All right. Bye.
On KJ, I don't do hour openers because it's just for me and I don't care. But the one song, if I had to pick something that I think is the quintessential hour opener on that show, it probably would be Just Like Romeo and Juliet, The Reflections. Yeah, good hour opener. All right, so 888, and of course, but it's all right, JJ Jackson. 888-876-5593. 8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Sam and Gurney, and we got Donna and Oaklawn, and we got room for you too, coming up on WGN Radio. James, that's the original You Can Leave Your Hat On. Randy Newman wrote that. It was on the Sail Away album in 1972. When Reprise put it out as a single, it was a different version. It was probably a little more up-tempo and stuff like that. But that's the original, to say the least. Joe Cocker recorded it also in 1986, and that actually charted as far as that goes. And I think a number of people have been involved with that record. Etta James covered it in 19. 1974 on her Edda Is Better Than Eva, a Chess album. Three Dog Night had it as a single. I don't know that it charted. Never really looked at that. Tom Jones, yeah, in the Full Monty. And it was a medley of that and Hot Chocolates, You Sexy Thing, and Donna Summer's Hot Stuff. Yeah, so anyway, it was John who came in and said, well, while you're on the theme, I want you to play You Can Leave Your Hat On. I said, well, I actually could do that, so now I have. All right, so 888-876-5593. I don't know, but I'm just checking here to see if James is still there. You're not still there, are you, James? Okay, good. I thought I concluded the call with James, but he was still up on the board here, and I thought, oh my God, I hope I didn't put him on hold and forget about him for 2 hours, but it looks like I didn't. So Sam is back in Gurnee, maybe. Are you there, Sam? No, Sam gave up. All right, well, it would happen. So let's see. That means the floor goes directly now to Donna in Oak Lawn. What's happening, Donna? No, we lost Donna too. Donna gave up as well? Oh, man, I tell you what. Yeah, well, if you want the last 5 minutes of the show, this is the time to call. 888-876-5593-8888-ROLLYE. So let's see what I need to tell you about today. There was Carol does me this great show prep, and most of the time I forget to even look at it, and that's terrible. But at moments like this, it saves me completely. And so let's see what we've got on the rundown for today, which actually is now tomorrow. It's technically Wednesday, but that said, let's have a look at today. Of course, new moon. We've been talking about this a while. That's next Wednesday, April 19th, 11:13. So if you're looking for the law of abundance, well, that's the time to write your check. And what else? Henry Fambro announced yesterday that he was retiring from the Spinners, and he's the last original member. Yeah, and the other four who have been performing recently, not originals, will continue to perform. But Carol said she wasn't sure what he was going to do now. Well, at 85 years old, he doesn't have to do anything, and I bet you he'll do it well. All right, so we could go on, but Donna and Oak Lawn decided to call back, and that's a good thing. So, Donna, what's up?
Well, I'm calling back with a strategy for getting you some old Pyrex and Carneyware and Tupperware.
Yeah.
I live in a neighborhood that's changing. We have old people and we have young people. And the trick is to find the old people who have house sales before they move into nursing homes.
You know, it's not a bad idea. This doesn't work for me because yard sales always start in the morning and I've never seen a morning. But it is not a bad idea all the way around if I could do a preemptive strike. Now, I have picked up a few pieces and I'm sure John wants me to pick up absolutely no more because, once again, we could more than fill a truck. So, but that's a nice idea. I should check around and keep my eyes peeled for that.
Well, the other thing is eBay.
Oh, of course. Of course.
My dimple darling son broke my bread bowl, mm-hmm. which was a Pyrex red.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the middle of the ensemble.
They
are green and yellow and blue and red and all different colors, different sizes. And the red one was the one that I always made my bread in. He dropped it, and I couldn't replace it until I went on eBay. It cost me $18, but I got it back.
That's right.
And it's a wonderful size for making bread.
Perfect. Yes, exactly. eBay is wonderful. Like I was just there buying more mercury thermometers because I don't care what they say. For oral thermometers, I want the good old glass and mercury. Don't give me anything else. And sure enough, I can find that on eBay.
And lots of them, too.
Yes, absolutely.
And the prices range. I grew up on using Toast Tite to make like grilled cheese sandwiches on an open flame. And when my parents moved, I got the only Toast Tite, and my brother didn't talk to me for 10 years.
Wow.
eBay.
What
got him a Toast Tite all of his own.
Oh, so he's happy now.
Happy brother.
That's one way to get him back. All right, I love it. Thanks for calling. I'll talk to you soon.
You take care.
All right. Bye. All right. Bye-bye. So good. Yeah, eBay is award-winning. You never know what you're going to find. And, of course, with eBay, you also very often never know what you're going to get. But that doesn't stop me because with PayPal, good guarantees. So let's see. John and Waukegan. John is talking to him right now. We played his requests, but of course that might have encouraged him. So we'll have to find out if he wants to hear more. Actually, we're not going to find out much of anything because what I'm going to have to do is implore him. So John, the show is about over. Can you call me tomorrow night? Hello, John.
Yes.
Yeah. Call me. By the way, did you hear your two songs? I played them both for you.
No, I cut you. I had my neighbor had a little problem, so I cut you on too late.
Yeah, Johnny and Joe and the Rays, and so it'll be on the replay, and you can download that at Raleigh.net if you want.
Okay.
All right, call me tomorrow night. I'll be live at 10.
Tomorrow night.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Talk to you then. All right.
Thank you.
So, and that is true for anybody else who is on hold. And I appreciate that you called. And I'm imploring you to do it again tomorrow night because we have 3 hours to spend together starting 21 hours from right now. Until then, well, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air, John for screening your calls, you above all for calling. It makes the show a pleasure to do so. Until tomorrow night, I'm Rodley James. It's WGN Radio.